Let's turn together in our scriptures to the book of St. Luke. Look in chapter 1 of St. Luke. I'm going to read verses 5 through verse 17. St. Luke chapter 1, verse 5 through 17. I'm going to share a message about the promise our Lord made to send the Messiah is now on the very threshold of being fulfilled. Our Lord Jesus, in these scriptures we'll share tonight, is just barely a few months away from being born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem. So St. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall return unto the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias," or Elijah, "to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." As I said, now the time is just on the very threshold of the Lord fulfilling the promise that he made centuries, probably at least 12 centuries back, the promise he had made that he was going to send the Messiah, going to send a Savior into the world. He was now just about ready to be born. Now, people have been looking for a long time, like I said, 12 centuries, for the Lord to send the Messiah. But now the Lord's going to send him, and in the century before the Lord Jesus came, what a horrible place, what a horrible condition the world was in. And for the Lord to send the Messiah to be born in a place called Bethlehem, with no facilities whatsoever, and then to be brought from Bethlehem after his birth to a little insignificant town called Nazareth, and that would be Jesus' hometown, that he'd be raised up in Nazareth. Nazareth was a horrible place. It was filled with immorality, sin and debauchery on every hand. And you remember now, Nazareth was controlled by Rome, just like all the other provinces here. And there was a garrison of Roman soldiers stationed at Nazareth to kind of keep an eye on things. And so the conditions immorally just arose and arose and arose. It was so bad that later, you remember when someone told Nathanael, said, "We have found the Messiah. He's from Nazareth." And you remember what Nathanael said? He said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Yet Nazareth would be the hometown of our Lord Jesus Christ after his birth in Bethlehem. So it's in this sinful environment that our Lord chose to send his only begotten son. Yet to an unknown peasant girl named Mary, and to an unknown carpenter named Joseph, and to pretty much unknown cousin Elizabeth and her husband Zacharias. Now, all the Israeli women had hoped and prayed for those 12 long centuries that someday they may be the one that God would choose to, through them, send the Messiah into the world. They may be the one to bear the Messiah. Yet God chose an insignificant place, and as far as the world was concerned, insignificant people like the Virgin Mary and Joseph. He also used Zacharias and Elizabeth in that plan as well. To fulfill God's purpose and to fulfill God's promise and God's plan to send the Messiah into the world. Let's explore just prior to his birth the very promise of God has been fulfilled. How you see the plan of God just working fitly joined together. As Galatians 4 says, in the fullness of time, God's going to send his son, born of a woman. But let's look at the kind of the preview to his birth. Look at, first of all, the meticulous preparation that God made before Jesus was to come. God was going to have a person. God was going to have what the Bible says, a forerunner. God was going to have a man to prepare the way for the coming of the Savior. Now, he would be, of course, you know, John the Baptist, the forerunner. Also, God chose Zacharias and Elizabeth, his wife, in this preparation. Now, as a story I just read to you, at least part of it, the Bible says they were well beyond childbearing years. They were stricken, the Bible says, in years. They had never had any children. Elizabeth was barren. And if an Israeli woman who was married didn't have any children and was barren, it almost always looked like a curse of God upon them. So Elizabeth's barrenness was just a kind of sign of Israel's barrenness. But her womb would soon be fruitful. And it would be soon that the very womb of Israel would be fruitful again with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God used them. God made it clear to them that they were going to have a son and that they were going to name him John. He would be the one who would be the forerunner. He would be the one who would prepare the way for the Savior who was to come. And you remember, I know you've heard, not long after when Jesus came, Jesus made a comment. He said, of all the people in the world born of woman, there's no one greater than John the Baptist. Well, John was no doubt a unique child. The Bible says he would be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. I don't find anywhere else in the Bible that any other child leapt in its mother's womb and filled with the Holy Ghost before he's born. But the Bible says that of John the Baptist, doesn't it? From this infant son of Elizabeth and Zacharias, he would grow up to be John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. So now God's promise is coming now almost to completion to send the Messiah. So from this preparation, this meticulous preparation through Zacharias and Elizabeth to bring forth John to prepare the way for the Lord, God makes a pronouncement to Mary of the birth of the Lord Jesus, who she's going to bear in just a few months. If you'll turn back with me in the book of Matthew. Look in the book of Matthew, chapter 1. We're going to begin looking at verse 18 through verse about 25. You'll see the pronouncement that God made through Gabriel, the angel, to Mary. In Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Isn't it ironic how God dispatched the angel Gabriel from the portals of heaven's glory? He sent the angel Gabriel to earth. He even sent Gabriel to this god-awful place, you might say, called Nazareth. And he appeared to this young maiden, young virgin Mary. Now, let me kind of give you a little bit of insight here. The Virgin Mary, the word virgin here, let me explain what this means. The word virgin used here, as Isaiah used it, she'll be a virgin, he says. The word virgin here in the Greek text is the word parthenos. Parthenos. That may not sound like much, so let me tell you what it means. How it means. She's a virgin. She's a parthenos. It means, it refers to a young woman who's ready for marriage, yet never has been touched by a man sexually. That's parthenos. So, to be anything less than a virgin, a parthenos, would be absolutely unthinkable for a Jewish woman. Yet in Luke 1:28, look at it. In Luke 1:28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed are they, art thou among women. Blessed indeed she was. Gabriel told Mary of God's plan to overshadow her and conceive in her womb the Christ child, the Messiah. No doubt Mary would have had to been shocked. Ladies, wouldn't you have been shocked? Wouldn't this have taken you by quite a surprise? She was shocked, no doubt. She was confused, no doubt. She was surprised, no doubt. A peasant girl bringing forth the Son of God, the Messiah. How can this be? She said, I have never been touched by a man sexually. And Gabriel said, Don't fear, Mary. You've been highly favored of God. And God has looked upon you with such favor that the Holy Spirit of God is going to overshadow you, and in your womb He's going to conceive a man-child, and you shall call His name Jesus. We think it's pretty remarkable today to have these tests that you can determine the birth of a child. That's old stuff. God said, you're going to have a son. And you're going to call His name Jesus, because the Spirit of God is going to overshadow you. And you're going to name Him Jesus, because He's coming to save His people from their sins. Mary complied, the bondslave of the Lord, be it unto me according to your words. So Mary then, after she got that pronouncement, she goes over to the hill country of Judea to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who's also with child, far along in her pregnancy. Now, we don't know if she told Joseph all about the angel's visit before she went to Elizabeth or not. Did she tell Joseph first, or did she go tell Elizabeth first? We don't really know. The Bible doesn't say. But we do know she went to Judea to Elizabeth. And then she did tell Joseph all about it. Now, look at the problems that this pronouncement would bring from this absolute preparation of Elizabeth and Zacharias, the pronouncement of the angel to Mary. Now Joseph is fully aware of what's going on. Look at the problems that would ensue. Look at Matthew 1:19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. How shocked could you imagine, guys? Joseph must have been to have heard that his espoused wife, now listen, in the Jewish community, when they were espoused, we'd say engaged today, when they were espoused, they were actually married. They were document signed, they were actually married as husband and wife, but with no sexual contact until after the time when the husband came to take his bride and take her to the home. So now Joseph hears this, and Joseph's overwhelmed. What great emotions! You can imagine what great emotions must have gone through and flooded Joseph's heart and soul. How in the world can this be? Has Mary been unfaithful to me? We're betrothed, we're espoused, we're actually already married, and this has taken place? Well, Mary was now with child. This would be considered in the Jewish community adultery. And you know the penalty for adultery in the Jewish law? It was stoning to death. Now listen, folks. It wasn't just stoning to death of the lady who's carrying the child. It was both of them. The one who was supposed to be the father as well as the one carrying the child. They'd both be guilty of adultery and they would both be stoned to death. Joseph had to wonder, who in the world could the father of Mary's baby be? Had she been raped? Or did she give consent to have sex with someone? How could I be so wrong about this woman, Mary? Is she insane, what she's done? Is she in love with somebody else? And she really doesn't love me. Why'd she do this? How could she do this? So in Matthew 1:19, Joseph had an outlet. In those days, in Jewish law, during the betrothal period, during the espousal period, if the woman was found guilty of adultery, unfaithfulness, then the husband would have the right to divorce her. That was the right of the man. You see, women weren't held in the highest esteem, ladies, then, as we hold you today. But Jesus changed all of that. But nonetheless, Joseph had an outlet. He could legally divorce her. So he thought on this, the Bible says, that he decided what he's going to do. He's going to put her away privately. That means he was going to divorce her. It would be absolutely considered irresponsible in the Jewish community for a man to marry a woman with child, guilty of adultery, so he could legally divorce her. So that's exactly what he planned to do. He was going to put her away, the Bible says, privately. Privately, it says here. That way, you see, if he divorced her, she could go back home to her parents, and her parents could take care of her and the baby she was going to bear. And he could go back home to his parents, or he could go on with his life. He could salvage his reputation and his standing in the community. So that's what he thought he would do. Well, something else happened. Something else took place in Matthew chapter 1. Look at verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet Isaiah, saying, behold, a virgin shall conceive. Now, what a startling, stunning revelation for the angel of God to appear to Joseph in a dream. What a great relief. You know, it had to have been for Joseph to find out that Mary had not been unfaithful to him. She had not been with another man. the child in her womb was not from a man, it was from the Holy Ghost of God. Through all these things that had happened, I'm sure Joseph had an overwhelming love for Mary. Through all that had been said, all that had been done, all the confusion, all the misunderstanding, all the things he thought in his mind that were negative, above all those things, Joseph just couldn't get away from the fact that he deeply loved Mary. Now, this problem was going to be settled with the angel's visit. They were going to absolutely now be at peace. Then this verse 20 through 23 there in chapter 1. To Joseph's relief, the first thing the angel told him was that Mary's child is conceived, Joseph, by the Holy Ghost. Wow. This has never happened before. Joseph believed it. What a relief this was in Joseph's heart. Since this is true, Joseph would know that this child being born of Mary, conceived by the Holy Ghost, would have to be the Son of God. The Son of God. The angel told Joseph that this child was going to be the long-awaited, hoped-for, prayed-for Messiah to the Jews and to the whole world. Now, to the Jews, this news would be the most breathtaking news that they had ever heard in all their history. God had promised a Savior, and now a Savior was going to be born. He'd be born of Mary. He's going to be the Messiah, the long-awaited one that was going to be sent. This would also confirm the innocence of Mary. It would take all the doubt about whether she'd been unfaithful or not, or whether she'd done this or done that. When they found out that she was conceived by the Holy Ghost, that cleared her up in her innocence. The long-awaited Messiah was going to come. Peace for them at last. Joseph was at peace. Mary was at peace. Now they could go on, you see, with their wedding plans and their espousal till the time would come when they would be together as man and wife. Now I need to share something else with you here. Joseph would know what problems would arise in the Nazareth community when Mary began to show her pregnancy and the word would get out that Mary was with child. He would know people would scoff. People would make fun. People would mock. People would call a curse upon them. Well, this is going to prove to be a messy problem in Nazareth with the people. But listen, Joseph set aside anything and everything anybody might say about Mary, his wife. But do you know what the community would think? The Bible says Joseph took her to his wife. The community would say this: Joseph is taking to his home. Joseph is marrying a woman, an illegitimate bride to say the least, and also an illegitimate child. That's what the community would say. Communities still say that today, by the way, don't they? Yes, they do. They look and they scoff. But Joseph, the Bible says, took her home to be his wife, regardless of any misunderstanding it might have been about Mary and he. And there would be many, no doubt. What a great turn of events followed. Listen, Joseph was already technically married to Mary. The Bible says he took her home and he knew her not. Now that means they had no sexual intercourse from the time he took her home until after the birth of Jesus. Mary had been a virgin, a parthenos, up to this point, and Joseph, convinced in his heart, knew that this was of God, and he wanted to have Mary clean and pure to deliver the Messiah. So her being a virgin, as she conceived, he wanted her in the same state when the Savior was born. So he never touched her sexually until after Jesus was born. Matthew 1, 25. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph deprived himself. What a man Joseph had to have been. Joseph deprived himself of any sexual gratification that would come along with marriage because of his conviction, his assurance that this child was conceived of the Holy Ghost. She would deliver the Messiah in the same state in which she was conceived, parthenos, never touched sexually by a man. Listen, Joseph understood all the risks involved here. Joseph counted the cost. He set aside his own rights as a husband and willingly accepted Mary's difficulties as his own. You talk about grace. You talk about peace. Both Mary and Joseph now had that peace that passes all understanding, that kept their hearts and minds. God saw to it until the Messiah would soon be born. Listen, how God performs all He promises. God's ways are never man's ways. God's thoughts are never man's thoughts. They're so far high above us, we can't comprehend them. The best we can do is accept them by faith, as did Mary and as did Joseph. And now soon, the next time we look at it, she will bring forth the Messiah. A lot of folks think this is a Christmas message. It is, but it's not. This is a promise being fulfilled that God said way back centuries and centuries and centuries ago. You see how God performs everything He promises? He always has, and He always will.